The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the I'm here to buy your vote Friday edition. Welcome to it, Dom.
You don't have that much money, Crudy. Good to see you. Happy, happy hour. Rich, work of the board, our fair audience. Join us. Air the grievances, 844-967-2789.
Would you call Donald Trump's speech last night a great speech or the greatest nominee speech ever?
It was terrible. It was weird. He was very evidently going on and off the teleprompter. The I'm trying to buy your vote. I mean, that was
that on or off prompter, do you think?
I think that was off. Look, I'll be honest about that. I made a couple of notes, Kurt. I was texting some of the crew here at Civic Media. He brought up Space Force, man. He mentioned Space Force last night.
Space Force!
Talked about cheating in the election. We cannot, let this happen again. What happened last time, you know, promoting again this idea that somehow COVID caused the Democrats to cheat on the last election. That's what Trump had to say.
Rigged.
I'm very passionate about the migrant invasion. Oh, and good news. He will end all international crisis. Yep. I'm going to end all international crisis just because I'm Donald
Woo!
Trump. Yeah, I know. Thankfully, right? I mean, I was getting worried there for a minute talking about World War III is coming, but Trump's going to end all international crisis. 4 years ago is now happening in reverse. Not sure what that means, but okay. And then he said something about 107% of the jobs are taken. 107% of the jobs? Can you have more than 100% of the jobs? What?
Well,
you don't even hear about the American dream anymore. Yeah, because you killed it. It's dead. Then he referred to this Mr. Speaker, Mr. Congressman. You know, didn't know people's names. Maybe, maybe not. What else? Some of the notes.
Governor.
Plunder our nation, the China virus. He brought up the China virus again. Kid Rock, you know, some people call him Bob. That was also very strange. Audience was not digging it, not nearly enough.
We did have an audience.
It was a terrible, terrible, terrible speech.
We did have an audience member that said Governor Tony Evers was there because Trump referenced the governor. The governor's right there. No, he meant the wankinator. The wanker was right there basking in the glow of the Cheeto Messiah. He was so proud to represent the Wisconsin delegation, Dom. He's going to bring it home for Trump. What a speech.
We do have some of the sound. Could you tell me, great speech or greatest speech ever?
As a Dem supportive guy, I think that was the greatest campaign speech by a political opponent I've ever heard, because it was the worst speech I've ever heard. And, you know, as I'm rooting against the guy, I kind of thought he bombed. Went over like a Led Zeppelin, dude.
Wow. 92 minutes. Longest acceptance speech in history, beating out his last two acceptance speeches.
Now, they said it would be a unifying speech, and he did have sort of a weird, somber tone at first. Sort of sleepy, you know, wasn't jacked up Trump. It was sort of a sleepy Trump, but did you know he talked about his own experience getting shot at for 18 minutes, I believe, and then acknowledged that other guy that got killed at his rally? Like, yeah, you know, maybe that would be the lead Trump. Maybe you buried the lead. Maybe acknowledging the guy that died supporting your dumbass candidacy, maybe he should be acknowledged before you talk about how it felt to have your ear pierced.
He did have the gear of the victim on stage with him.
And after talking about himself for 18 minutes, he did acknowledge the man.
Yeah. No. A little strange. We have some sound. If you would, Rich, let's lay it on the folks. Eat your broccoli. It's Friday. It's Grievance Day. Air him here, 844-967-2789. If you would, please, Rich, let's start with cut number 5. God is on my side.
There was blood pouring everywhere, and yet, in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side. I felt that.
So what, God didn't like the firefighter that died at your rally? Apparently. What about the other two wounded parties? What about when a school shooting happens and a bunch of elementary school kids get killed? Is that also God's plan? You know, why is it some sort of messianic religious freaking thing when their Cheeto Messiah gets shot at? You know, I'm not agreeing with that violence. Obviously, political violence, a different conversation. But why is it God's plan? Why is the Almighty put his hand of providence on Trump, but let the firefighter die? Because it seems to me like that guy was actually doing something with his life.
And I would point out, I think our buddy Tom over on the leftist coast, when they put the firefighter, I think they spelled his name wrong on the back of the jacket of the victim, which is not great. Let's keep going on. The Donald Trump, again, this guy, and I'm not clear, but why does he keep bringing up freaking Hannibal Lecter, man?
The late, great Hannibal Lecter.
Has anyone seen Silence of the Lambs? The late, great Hannibal Lecter. He'd love to have you for dinner.
That's Alex Jones.
I mean, it's just, it's weird. And then the tone of the former president, very strange. A couple more from the former guy from last night. So long, farewell, RNC, MKE 2024. Cut number 7, please. Is this going to end inflation? Just like he ends all the world conflicts.
I will end the devastating inflation crisis immediately, bring down interest rates, and lower the cost of energy. We will drill, baby, drill.
Oh, that enthused them. Drill, baby, drill.
They really, again, you know, this country, for I consider, unfortunately, is producing the most oil and petroleum products it ever has in the history of this country.
How many of the Republican delegates last night were saying to their grinder dates, drill, baby, drill?
Oh, no. Oh, it's just terrible. I think we have one more from the former guy. Let's hear what this rambling man had to say.
If you took the 10 worst presidents in the history of the United States, think of it, the 10 worst, added them up, they will not have done the damage that Biden has done. Only going to use the term once. Biden. I'm not going to use the name anymore. Just one time.
After he just said it twice in the same little rambling there.
So, no, I mean, I think he, when he was on the teleprompter, when he was on script, it was certainly better than, but he can't help himself, but to go off script. So is that it? Are we done with, I think we're done with the broccoli now, folks. Thank you for putting up with us. 844-967-2789.
Forever, we're done force feeding our audience broccoli. They'll be appreciative, Dom. They might tell forever. More friends if they didn't have to eat so healthy around here.
Well, I mean, Hannibal Lecter, he wants to have you for dinner. What else did he say? Something about, oh, we will end lots of different things. We're going to end inflation. And literally, I wrote this down. I was like, and we will end lots of different things. Yeah, like democracy. You know, what are you talking about? We will end lots of different things. Just throw it all out there. All world conflict, all inflation, all immigration. We will end it all. All you need is to vote for me. It's all you need. I will get it all done. I will snap my fingers. I mean, the guy's a lunatic. And of course, not talking about any of the real issues, the Project 2025, how they're going, you know, what they would actually do when they get in there. No, this was the unity speech. And he went off the rails. There was no unity there. I mean, there was for a second, and then there wasn't.
Well,
just
that's
like, oh well, I told him to go be safe. I told him to follow the law, be peaceful, or fight like hell. You won't have your country back. You know, as soon as you go there and then take it back, it kind of takes it away, takes it off the plate. You know what I mean?
Well, when you allow Goebbels' grandson, Stephen Miller, to write your unity speech down, that's what it's going to sound like. It's Friday.
844-967-2789. We do have some callers holding. Let's get to them. Let's not keep them waiting. And don't forget, our pal Joe Zepecki is a Dem strategist. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But, Dick, you are up. Dick from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Air that grievance, Dick.
Well, welcome back from the FMC, or FNC, Fascist National Convention. You guys should get hazardous pay. I'm just saying. I mean,
don't give Dom any ideas, man. Yes. Don't be pitting labor against management here, Dick.
That's double time, Dick. I think you're right. That should be the case.
Yeah, the fascists. Anyway, what a week. This convention, and then we end it with this situation this morning where we went from the Jetsons to the Flintstones. Pretty interesting. Yeah, right. But this guy would literally, with what he's proposing with these masks, you guys already touched on it, he'd collapse this economy within 6 months.
Mass deportations.
Spiraling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything you guys pointed out would happen. And what's going on that's really good now? And let's go back to, 10-plus unemployment that he had or whatever it was, instead of 3.5, 4, or the best in 50-plus years. Yeah, let's go. Return with us now to the days of yesteryear. What a horrible speech, and bring on more of it, because I think you'll ultimately, if people really look at that, come on. He's just...
Oh, one more. Ah, damn it. Sorry, Dick. It's the tech.
Sorry about that, Dick. Thanks for the call. Is that Strikeforce, or what's the computer issue right now with Microsoft? All sorts of cattywampus things going on right now, folks.
I don't know. I got an Apple. It hasn't affected me one iota. No. They always look down their noses till there's a breakdown.
844-967-2789. I'm going to come back, take some more of your calls while we warm up and get ready for our friend Joe Zepecki, Dem strategist, at the 4:30 segment. Folks, come back with us.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Airing of the grievances. We'll do that. 844-967-2789.
A lot of Republicans have this grievance. Mitchell is snarled with the tech shutdown today. So many flights canceled. So many flights grounded. And quickly, I'd like to throw this out for your consideration. Dateline Milwaukee. Rep. Chuck Fleshman, a Republican from Tennessee, is about to take the ride of his life. Well, at $2,900, it will at least be the most expensive taxi ride of his life. In the wake of this week's Republican National Convention, Fleshman and his wife found themselves stranded in Milwaukee today, ensnared in the CrowdStrike outage that grounded more than 2,000 flights nationwide. And after Delta Airlines canceled the flight they were scheduled to take home to Tennessee, Fleshman was told he couldn't rebook for today or even in the coming days. It is no more, Fleshman told Raw Story at Mitchell Airport. It disappeared, like his flight's just off the board. Like others stranded here in Milwaukee, the congressman couldn't get a rental car as thousands of Republican National Convention attendees scrambled to depart. They're all booked, he said. Tyless, and wearing a blue sport coat with a shiny congressional pin gleaming on his lapel as he sat in the airport food court. But he's finally got a ride home, Dom. With no other option, the fiscal conservative has resigned to an overnight cab ride back to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Wow, Ross Story responded, and the cabbie then has to drive back alone. Yeah, Fleshman said, but they're making out all right. A $2,900 overnight red-eye cab ride to Chattanooga? I hope you enjoyed the RNC, sir.
I'm driving to Chattanooga and back for $3,000. Man, that's not a bad run.
I've made that run. No, it wouldn't be worth it. Now, with a couple of Republicans in the back seat gushing about Trump for 13 hours each. Well, one way. Presumably, you kick them to the curb when you get to Chattanooga.
844-967-2789. Crudy, the ride to Chattanooga, let's see, how long would this be? I think it's about 700 miles. Yeah, that's the haul. Maybe I wouldn't do that. We'll take your calls, though. Carol from Madison has a grievance. Great timing, Carol. It's Friday. We air the grievances. What do you got?
Hey, Carol.
Hi. Oh, boy. Settle back. I've got a lot. First of all, I'm very disappointed in Representative Pocan. I called his office and told him to support President Biden. The staffer who took my message was very, very kind. Unfortunately, he told me I had to call the campaign office because according to the House Ethics Committee, they couldn't take calls on the election. And I said, really? House Ethics Committee? Is that a thing? Gates is still in Congress? MTV still in office? What the S? What the H? And George Clooney is on my list. He's saying Biden should set down. Yeah, it won't matter if Trump wins. He lives in Italy. He'll never lose his Social Security or health care. His wife will never die of sepsis because she had an incomplete abortion. George, shut up. Melania, since she saw her shadow, does that mean there are six more weeks of BS? I gotta know. Hulk Hogan, I guess CTE is a thing. Kid Rock, what? Was Ted Nugent too busy? I had to watch Trump's speech because I couldn't find my copy of Triumph of the Will. But there's something you guys are missing.
What's that, Carol? I feel like you've been working on this material all day. Go nuts, sister.
Great.
During the speech, Trump praised the genocide of the Native American population, and nobody's covering that. In the middle of his word salad, he brought up that gem. I just want to put on an episode of The West Wing and quietly sob into my pillow. And all the Dems who are saying that Biden needs to step aside, shut up. Who is he going to pass the torch to? And at this late date, can we get the replacement on all the state ballots? Come on.
My understanding, Carol, is, Carol, yes, we could at this late date, but later than, you know, like the 3rd of September, even the Wisconsin ballot becomes an issue of timing. Who could be next? The New York Times is reporting at this hour that Kamala Harris, the vice president, apparently coming to Milwaukee on Tuesday. Well, she's meeting with the big dollar donors today. Separate of Joe, she is now interviewing for her own solicitation of big dollar donations. So...
And apparently some of the big dollar donations had concerns as well, Carol. And if the money dries up, that makes them certainly much more difficult. But this is a battle we're in. We appreciate your perspective, Carol. 844-967-2789. John from Boaz.
John, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello, John.
Hello, gentlemen. Devils, this is the greatest radio show ever. And I was fortunate to get on today. I'd like to talk about Mr. Trump and compare him to Adolf Hitler. They were both idealists. They could tell you how to build an Autobahn and put everybody to work. And work makes money. Work makes life, is what Germans say. Well, Trump is just the same way. He's an idealist. You could not get the truth out of him. We have,
you know,
going back into the Greek philosopher, Plato. He said, what is the truth? Then, what is the man's character?
You know, I never quite understood why it was that Plato had to live in the doghouse, but Goofy got to live in the main house and wear clothes.
John, thank you for the call. You know, there's another thing the Germans used to say during the Nazi regime. Work sets you free. Appreciate your perspective. And that was a weird speech from Trump yesterday. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. Our pal, Joe Zepecki, he's a Dem strategist. He's a friend of ours. He's going to join us, giving his perspectives. And we'll get more of your calls as well. 844-96-PARTY.
Was John referencing Plato or Pluto? I confused those two. But I made in a wrong call.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God the RNC MKE 2024 effectively in the rearview mirror. We got a fine guest. He's joining us live via stream. He is our good friend, Joe Zepecki. Joe, I know you had a late night last night, man. I appreciate you answering the call, the bell, the Devil's Advocates. Thanks, man.
Hey, when the devil calls, you answer.
That's a good thing, we think. Joe, we were just comparing rates. If we had a Uber drive the Tennessee congressman back to his district in Chattanooga, you were going to do it for $1,500. No way in hell I'd do it for that. But Joe, what was your rationale?
That covers the gas money. Come on.
I'll never get that time back. And the day trapped in the car with the ideologue MAGAs? I mean, Joe, that's going to make the trip quite a bit more expensive.
I may have neglected to price that in.
Don't worry, though. You get like 65 and a half cents reimbursement per mile, man. I mean, there you add go. That on top of it, you know, you can make it work.
You guys, scheming. I would have just been a hard no. But, Joe, you were in the room last night. You saw the Trump speech. And, you know, at 15 minutes, it seemed like he might be onto something. But then it devolved mightily. Joe, what were your three takeaways from the big night?
Yeah, so the first one's very straightforward, which is the greatest hits of MAGA Mad Libs are not as compelling when his energy is not what it used to be. That was a genuinely low energy speech from Donald Trump. Like, and it, so it just didn't land like it usually does. And I think it's why people, even on the floor of the convention, were checking their phones and like, okay, when's this going to be over? And so low energy MAGA Mad Libs don't work for anybody. That's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two, the first 20 minutes, if that's all you heard, you did hear a new tone, but 78-year-old men do not change who they are. And the absurdity of presuming to claim the mantle of unity in a speech where you call Nancy Pelosi crazy and accuse Democrats of trying to destroy the country is pretty breathtaking, even for Donald Trump. I am here for a debate on policy and for lowering the rhetoric in our politics. What I'm not here for is the lip service that Republicans are giving to that in the wake of the assassination attempt. All they're saying is, yeah, we should bring the country together. We should be more unified. But then they're not actually changing their behavior or their language or the way they talk about it, which is driving the normalization of violence in our politics. So that's takeaway number two. And then takeaway number three, one of my takeaways from the whole week, but certainly from Trump's speech last night, is it was pretty devoid of any substantive policy. There was just not much policy from the stage. But if you do take the most policy-specific thing that he said in the entire speech, he promised to impose a 100 to 200% tariff on all imported goods. That is the opening bell on a global trade war that would destabilize the American economy and is inflationary. For the Republican Party to claim they care about inflation while their candidate for president is promising inflationary policies like a 200% tariff is nuts. That's a tax hike that gets paid for by working and middle class families. And at the same time he's doing that, he has promised to give another $800 billion tax cut to corporations. That's not populist. That's not a message that's going to sell with blue collar working Americans. It's just not.
I got a message that Trump tried to sell to the Wisconsin delegation. I'm here to buy your vote. Seemed a little transactional.
A little transactional.
We've been to plenty of Trump rallies, and the vast majority of Americans probably have not. But if you've ever been to a Trump rally, it resembled this speech last night. And I think as often as this guy BS's and lies about the big things, he so often tells the truth about his own character. And I think he was telling the truth, Joe. I think he is so transactional. He thought, hey, here's $250 million. You better vote for me, Milwaukee. I don't care how horrible you are.
And if he had that money himself, he'd write a personal check. It was very revealing of how his brain actually works. And the other takeaway was how much it's about him. It's lip service. Like, they're telling him you have to talk about people, but he doesn't know how to talk about people. He doesn't know how to talk about the working family in Wisconsin that is trying to figure out, does it make more sense for mom to go back to work or to try to figure out how to pay for healthcare? Well, if we pay for childcare, then you'd only be making, an extra $200 a month. Is that really going to be worth it for the budget? Well, what if we nanny share with another family and we take a part-time job? And but the older kids, one of them needs braces and the other one we're starting to think about college. That is the lived experience that people are going through. And there just is no way that Donald Trump or his family understand that reality. The closest thing they have to it now is J.D. Vance on the ticket, but this is somebody who left behind the hills of Appalachia 20 years ago and has never looked back and has changed his entire tune on from his book to where he is now. He used to say these communities could look inwards for strength and purpose and to find themselves, and they shouldn't blame coastal elites or policymakers in Washington. And now it's all the deep state's fault. So that guy can't even get his story straight, other than he's for a national abortion ban, other than he was part of the Senate Republican bloc who refused to protect access to IVF for Wisconsin families who want to have kids and are trying to make that plan. And I'll just add this other thing on the policy front. For 4 days, they never talked about abortion, which is remarkable because it has been a staple of Republican conventions going back to the 1970s after Roe v. Wade was decided. But I don't know if the strategy there is, well, if we don't talk about it for 4 days, maybe people won't remember that Donald Trump is responsible for overturning Roe v. Wade. The American people are not having that. Women in this country are living under draconian laws in 20 states because of Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump wins, a national abortion ban is coming to his desk and he will sign it. And that is just a fact. And we can have that debate, but people ought to know that before they go to vote.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our friend Joe Sopecki, he's a Dem strategist. Joe, always a pleasure. Thank you for doing all the hard work and heavy lifting yesterday. I didn't want to be in that room and you were there for us, so I appreciate it.
I was not in the room. I was not in the room, to be clear. I was not in the room.
The policies. There was a specific policy, and I think when I was watching on the television, watching the speech, there was one thing that really got the crowd fired up more than Kid Rock. And that was mass deportation, baby. They are down with the mass deportation. They are ready to go. The crowd was fired up. It was one of the hallmarks, I think, of this particular convention. But the practicality of the whole thing, Joe, how do you think this is going to fly? Who's going to do it? Who's going to pay for it? We're issuing papers to all citizens, and then citizens must show papers upon request. What's going to happen with the crops in the field and the meat in the slaughterhouses? How is this going to practically go down? No details, but a very, very strong crowd reaction in support of mass deportations, Joe.
Yeah, and that's the new tone, right? They say there's a bloodbath in this country when border crossings are down. They say they want mass deportations, which, let's be really clear what that means. That means camps in this country, and not the good kind, not the kind you're sending your kids to this summer for a week at sleepaway camp, the kind that we haven't seen in this country since the 1940s. And the right has already acknowledged that under that plan, innocent people will get caught up in the dragnet and spend time in those camps. They have acknowledged it. And there's no way to avoid it, that people who are here legally, people who are American citizens, will be rounded up and placed in camps. That's not the America I want to live in. It's not the America the two of you want to live in. And I don't think it's the America that any of us want to live in. It's that the people who are so hell-bent on winning back power and owning the libs haven't thought it through to the degree that you have, Dom, which are, these are very straightforward questions. Who is an American? What does an American look like? I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Civil War, the A24 movie from earlier this year, but the most terrifying vignette in that movie is when someone with a rifle is asking, what kind of American are you? You don't look like the guy standing next to you. Where are you from? And depending on the answer to that question, you know, that's the type of terror we're talking about, and it would be terror. And that, again, is another thing that we ought to have a conversation about in this country, because the chant is one thing. The doing, the implementation is another thing. And they're not interested in that if they don't work at the Heritage Foundation and they're not working on the 900-page Project 2025 plan for how to implement it.
Joe, I know you've been involved in campaigns for some time. I took note a couple of things when you see the body language of folks that are coming up to speak. One, Melania Trump came in. I noticed her kind of breathing in through her teeth in between some of the awkward smiles. Like she was like trying really hard to keep it together. Like she didn't want to be there, Joe. Dana White holding this piece of paper, shake. I mean, I saw a side shot. I was shocked. I mean, this is a guy made tons of money, done all sorts of events. Why is he shaking to the degree that he was? You notice anything about the body language of any of the speakers other than those folks?
No, I mean, listen, it is an awkward experience to speak from that podium before primetime. It's a little easier during primetime. And the reason for that just has to do with there are long days and the lights are up. It's not really the show. There's other stuff happening. There's conversations happening. If you're speaking in like the 6 or 7 o'clock hour, it's really awkward. As for the primetime, it's just, you know, listen, Melania Trump doesn't like being around her husband is my takeaway. If she was, she'd be with him more often. We hardly ever see her, okay? As for Dana White, that guy shaking like a leaf, oh, while telling us he's a tough guy? You know what tough guys don't do? They don't hit their wife. Dana White is on camera hitting his wife. He is an abuser. And that is not tough. Real men don't hit women. And I'll say that to his face because he's a fake tough guy. How about that?
Joe, calls for speculation, but how much do you think Melania got paid to appear on the stage last night? I mean, I had to be a renegotiated prenup at minimum.
That is between Mrs. Trump and her attorneys and her marriage, and I'm not going to comment on it. Not going to go there.
Joe, Eric Hudvey, candidate from the great state of California, I mean Wisconsin, running against Tammy Baldwin, gave something of a, I would say, a pitchy, screechy kind of a speech. Didn't seem quite ready for primetime this week. What'd you think?
Well, we've known he's not ready for primetime since the start of his campaign. I mean, speaking of lack of substance and policy, I mean, there's just nothing unique or interesting about Eric Hovde other than the size of his wallet and the fact that he's got a really nice house in Laguna Beach. This is a guy who uses the same tired, trite political rhetoric that doesn't mean anything, and loves to criticize, but offers no plans of his own. It's It's easy. You know, he sits there and says he's opposed to the Affordable Care Act and doesn't tell you what we should do in lieu of that. If we want to, you know, get more people access to healthcare or make it more affordable, he's got no answer. All he's got is a little bit of a shtick. It's not that good, and it's not working very well.
Yeah, but that mustache. Oh, is that sexy. Joe, you got a few more.
In lieu of that, sorry, Crudy, but in lieu of that, Joe, I mean, the guy thinks healthcare is like some, you should hang it over the kids' heads or the young 20-somethings that are not able to stay on their parents' plan for a while. They should hang it over their head to make them work harder. I mean, that's the mentality. It's not for the workers. He's about sticking it to them.
Yep. Joe, can you stick
around? Yeah, I'll come back, Rudy.
Excellent, because I got to ask you about Rojo's speech, man. What is he, Ron Burgundy? You put it on the teleprompter, he's got to say it. If they put the wrong speech up, and I was about to give the speech, I would either do a Mike Johnson panic and walk away, or I would give the speech, you know, sort of paraphrase what was in my heart. It's only 3 minutes, Ron. You don't have 3 minutes. Come on back. Less than 3 minutes. More Joe Sopecki, more Devil's Advocates. Thank God it's Friday.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our guest, Joe Sopecki, he's a Dem strategist. He's sticking around for one more segment. Callers, be patient. We will get to you all in the happy hour. Joe, I just wanted to mention, you talked about Dana White being an abuser, caught on tape slapping his wife not so long ago. Of course, introducing the former president, seemingly fit.
An adjudicated rapist.
And seems like a perfect match in that regard. Fake tough guy, as you called him. There was another fake tough guy having an altercation in Milwaukee near the Pfister this week as well. Derek Van Orden getting involved with a Code Pink protester who apparently was, her only crime was not letting him butt in line. She sat in holding for 15 hours, and apparently there will be no charges, but I'd like to see the
because
tape.
Because the video did not match the congressman's description of what happened. So I really am fascinated.
He called it political violence, man.
He called it political violence. This is a former Navy SEAL. This is the first former Navy SEAL in American history who was willing to even make up the lie that a tiny little woman wearing pink beat him up. And if it wasn't an outright lie, what he was acknowledging was he got bested by a tiny little woman wearing pink. I do not understand what goes on in that man's mind. He is not a serious person. And this was preposterous on its face from the moment it came out because he is a former Navy SEAL. And by the way, I thank him for his service, but he doesn't need to continue serving this country in this role because he does not know how to comport himself in a office of public trust.
What about trolling Kevin McCarthy, or excuse me, trolling Matt Gaetz after Gaetz trolled Kevin McCarthy? He called him a little bitch. He called him tubby. He basically called him an Botoxed AI sex doll. I mean, these all appeared on the Twitter stream of Van Orden about one of his fellow congressmen. What happened to the days of decorum, Joe?
Yeah, it's the Trumpification / idiocracy come home to roost. I mean, and that's really what happened this week, is that the MAGA takeover of the Republican establishment is complete. You could make an argument that there were still holdouts within the party apparatus. Not anymore. They've just, the ones who still know in their hearts that this is not couth, that this is not a responsible person, it's not a responsible choice to put him in charge of the nation's nuclear weaponry, and I'm talking about Trump, not Van Orden here, they know, but they've given up caring. For three straight conventions, he was the person getting the nomination. And if you think about those three conventions as an arc, holy cow, man, the takeover is complete. There is, like, it's been complete for a while, but now they just might as well go ahead and rename the party after him. you know, the Republican establishment is no more. It is a MAGA establishment, period. Now, I don't think that that translates the way they do to the people in this country. The 20 to 25% of Republican primary voters who were voting for Nikki Haley, even after she dropped out of the race, right? It was never about Nikki Haley to a lot of them. It was about being a vessel for what they're seeing and hearing and know to be true, which is Donald Trump is not fit to be president. And I don't know that that got through, because even if they, even if the high was 18, 20 million Americans watching, I'm not sure the convention was for those folks. And even if they had been watching, I don't think it would have moved those folks. So you might have the Republican establishment unified, but you don't have the Republican Party unified. There are still vast stretches of this country where Republicans, where actual conservatives understand there's nothing conservative about Donald Trump or what he wants to do, starting with being a dictator on day one.
Folks, we got a fine guest. He is Joe Sopecki, a Dem strategist, a friend of ours. Joe, obviously, the Democratic Party's got its own problems going into its convention and big decisions to make, at least for Joe Biden. Is he the nominee?
Is this the part where I can run away from the teleprompter because I don't want to talk about it?
Right. If you so choose, Joe. But Mark Polkin, my congressman today, a Madison congressman, very safe district, chose to come out publicly. And I was just at a rally in Madison where Joe Biden seemed pretty damn fired up. And Mark Polkin was on the stage at the microphone saying, I'm here with Joe. I'm riding with Biden. Except 3 weeks later, he's not riding with Biden anymore, Joe. Is that troubling to you when the home state contingent, the congressional contingent, starts turning on the candidate?
No, I don't think he has turned on the candidate. I did not view in the congressman's statement that he will not support Joe Biden to the hilt if he is our candidate. And he may well be. These are impossibly tough questions with no known answers. There is no question, and I know that Mark, if he was on this program right now, would look you in the eye and say that Joe Biden has been a good to great American president and is capable of doing the job. There's just no question that that is true. Everything else is up in the air. Can he win? We don't know. Is somebody else run with a D after their name more likely to win? We don't know. What we know is Donald Trump cannot be president of the United States again. That is bad for people we love and care about and the future of this country. And so what the Democratic Party is doing right now is figuring out who are we going to have atop the ticket to make that case. I still think it'll be Joe Biden. And if it's somebody else, we'll go with that instead. We just don't know. And what Mark is doing is what Mark thinks is best. And I think it comes from a good place. And people of good faith and good intention who want the best for this country can see this question differently. Today, he and I do.
Joe Sopecki, our fine guest. Thank you so much, Joe. Actually, Monday, Mark Polkin will appear on this show at 4:30 Central Time. We'll ask him these very same sort of questions about Joe Biden. He's apparently campaigning in Western Wisconsin for Katrina Shanklin today. But Joe, when I called, you answered, man, and I'm a little shocked you did, but I'm glad you did. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, guys.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. A Friday Happier Happy Hour is next. All you cowboys and cowgirls.